everybody. Really fun episode of the Daily Bone podcast. We talk about Blast and Blast Gold. This is basically the story of crypto this weekend, is the action that is being seen on Ethereum's Layer 2 Blast. They announced a jackpot program that is designed to reward NFTs and tokens. Over $1 million worth of Blast Gold is up for grabs. We discussed that Clemente is rising as a Blast influencer, and we hear his takes on all things Blast. Beyond that, we talk about the crypto price action over the weekend, crypto rallying quite a bit. Great to see. Also, Bitcoin inflows back up. Absolutely love to see it. So overall, it's a great episode of the show. We hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, May 6th, Daily Bone podcast here, playing some real diss records that are actually good songs. We are going to be discussing all things crypto market. That includes the majors, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, meme coins, and of course, NFTs. Think you can imagine, if you've been paying attention to the market over the weekend, what the talk of the town is going to be today. And it's actually great because we have the newest number one Blast influencer on the show. We're honored to have him on the show today. That's Clemente, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a few things. Obviously, we're going to talk about Blast $12 million gold airdrop this weekend. We're going to talk about the catalyst to watch out for this week. And then we're going to discuss crypto's weekend rally after a huge Bitcoin ETF day on Friday. Who could have seen something like that coming? Clemente, how you doing, buddy? Are you feeling good being a brand new Blast influencer?
I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good. I canceled a date I had this weekend. I was like, hey, babe, you know, I got to lock in here. It's time to lock in. I can't be playing around. No drinking. No, you know, I'm not. Hey, I need.
You don't have to drink. You don't have to drink to hang out.
Yeah, but I don't want to just hang out of my apartment. Like, what are we doing here?
You don't have to drink to hang out outside the apartment.
Yeah, but that makes it way more fun. Is like, you know, you get some margaritas. You get, hey, should we get a tequila shot? Boom. Kablamo, but
you sound
anyway.
Like an alcoholic.
No, Clemente, you made the right decision. This weekend was the weekend to lock in, and people who were like with their families, spending family time or whatever that is,
a bunch they of assholes. Out
because I know, but literally, like the way Pac-Man has done things, it's just like it's, you know, he's really rewarding people who are paying attention right now. And we saw Jackpot come out. Like I woke up and Jackpot had come out. And then I was like, I just happened to have a weekend where I was like, I'm locking into this. I need to see like what this is about. Then I realized the potential of what this is. And I was like uploading decks, everything. Like it was so funny because I had locked in on the weekend, I locked in early on Fantasy Top and I was adding them to my deck. And because of that, I ended up getting all this gold. And I think the reason why gold was so profitable over the weekend was because so many people were just like, oh, I'll get to the crypto admin on Monday or I'll do it later, whenever that was going to be. So Clemente, you really made the right choice. If she's a good gal, she'll come back out for that second date. And you'll be a lot richer. So she'll be happier.
Completely preposterous. You could have definitely figured out a way to make both things happen without alcohol. Wanted to call out.
Ahead, not even with the alcohol. It was like, you know, she actually didn't even want to do anything with alcohol, but it was, you know, I'd be sitting there twiddling my thumbs. I'd be checking the price. I wouldn't be fully present, right? And it'd be like 4 hours out of my day. I'm like, dude, I could be spending that, you know, doing Fantasy Top stuff, farming gold, making, you know, putting out another tweet, another banger. But yeah, anyway,
we got some pretty good comments here before we dive into the weather report. Test Tube Ted, longtime listener, always has great comments. He said, Clemente can't be in the presence of women without alcohol. I'm assuming that is correct, Test Tube Ted. I think I'm on the same page as you. One other good one, Yay or Nay, just said in all caps, he told Clemente to do fentanyl. So that's an interesting direction for Yay or Nay to kind of send Clemente's way. Fentanyl, of course, a fatal substance. So anyway, let's dive into the weather report here. Signal, we got to cook because we have a lot to talk about with the newest Blast influencer. Let's go.
Absolutely. Let's get into it on Monday, May 6th. At ETH market volume at 9.5. Solana market volume's at 3.3. And Ordinal second at 5.3. If you look at the market leaders on the Ethereum side, you've got Pudgy's. They're back up to 12th ETH floor. Moonbirds, they're at 0.83. They're up. Over on Solana, Crypto Undeads, they're down to 1 soul. And D-Gods are down to 54 soul. Finally, over on the Ordinals, no surprise, OMBs are up to 0.45 BTC. And Prometheans, they're down to 0.01 BTC. Ouch. On the crypto roundup, the majors, they rallied over the weekend after a solid Bitcoin ETF inflows on Friday and a weaker than expected jobs report. Bitcoin now is back almost at 65,000. Ethereum is at 3,150 and Solana is $155. We also saw a number of the Blast meme coins absolutely rip over the weekend. It was led by Big, which is up over 300%. It did that in an hour to a 2 million market cap. And over on Solana, Nub and Sharkcat are also up 25% on the day. Over the past 24 hours, top three stories were first, Blast launched Jackpot program. This is where users can add NFTs and tokens to their Jackpot deck for a chance to win Blast Gold. The first two Jackpot winners were Pack and Fantasy Top. You needed to be in it to win it. There was over 500,000 Blast Gold to the winners. Using NFT statistics, $12 valuation, this comes out to over 6 million rewards to distributed to holders. Secondly, Frentech dollar friend token recovered after dipping below 80 cents and is now up 3x to $2.80. Their new money club feature has gained traction with a top room. Obviously, it's got to go to top influencer Ansem and it's Ansem's army. And to get in that room, you need to pay a nice cool $7,500 to enter. And then lastly, Fantasy Top's Flash tournament ended over the weekend with 88,000 gold distributed to participants. Fantasy's top main tournament starts today. You've got 200,000 gold up for grabs, in addition to the points, the stars, the cards, and the prizes. I hope we are cooking. It's going to be a good week. And it's back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual. Signal some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. You can subscribe at dailybones.com. First story, the wallet holding the epic sat etched the epic rune early Sunday morning, and it currently sits at an $82 million market cap. Not too shabby right there. A second story, a serial crypto litigator filed a class action lawsuit against Coinbase claiming it operates as an unlicensed broker-dealer. Good luck with that, buddy. Next story, Machi Big Brother and DeFi Apes launched a bridge from ETH to Blast for major collections, including Pudgy Penguin's Azuki and most of the Yuga Labs collections. So there you go. Next story, Artifact announced the Incubation Lab, which is going to open tomorrow, May 7th, leading to a 20,000 supply Animus Companion collection created by Takashi Murakami. Wow. Interesting. More NFTs and more NFTs by Takashi Murakami. Clemente, you put in the call sheet, does Nick still think they get shut down this year? We have Nick, I think, on audio only. I don't know if he is present right now. He might be.
I am.
How's it going, Nick?
It's going all right. Look, dude, this is the last, last collection on the way out the door after Nike shuts this thing down.
All righty. Well, there you go.
These are Pio. These are the Artifact Animus eggs. This is a collection that minted back in 2022.
Yeah.
So 2 years in the making, they're cooking this thing up. But people were pretty excited about these eggs. I don't know how they end up performing. I think they've been actually holding up pretty well. Let me check their floor price real quick. But overall, the Artifact community members were coming after Nick this weekend. They were saying some crazy things. They're like, hey, we're not dead, buddy. They said some things about his mother that I thought was not appropriate. I was like, what are you guys saying? They're very passionate, but we have the Animus eggs at 0.17 ETH right now.
Wow. Very interesting.
They're going to be shut down in months. And the reality is there's still people employed there and working. So I'm glad to see that they're actually doing something rather than just twiddling their thumbs waiting for their death.
Love to hear it. I love to hear it. For the record, I am on the same page as Nick. I think it'll be very interesting 6 months from now, which is a long time, right? In crypto, people think 6 months is like an unfathomable amount of time, but the reality is it's just not that long. Last story, Robinhood, my former employer, received a Wells notice form from the staff of the SEC. Wow. So the SEC just going scorched earth. Trying to imply probably because Robinhood allows you to buy Avalanche and Ethereum is my assumption because they don't allow you to buy Solana anymore based on a previous Wells notice that was sent to Coinbase. So I'm sure that keep in mind, Robinhood is not a crypto company, even though they offer crypto products. They are like a more traditional Bay Area tech company. So this is not what they want. So I wouldn't be surprised if you actually see some action taken on. You might only be able to buy Bitcoin on Robinhood in the coming weeks. They might be like, we're shutting down AVAX. We're shutting down Ethereum. I don't know. I don't want to like throw stuff out there that isn't true. But if they already did this with Solana, they immediately just folded. Like they folded without hesitation. Signal?
If I had my assets in Robinhood, I'd be getting them out of there. Or if you can't get them out of there, because some of these apps you can't, you just sell and get out and just exit. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Something like that. I feel like this is the situation with Robinhood. They should probably change the name because they actually steal from the poor. It is the right name. It is the right name. They steal from the poor and give to the rich.
You can withdraw, if I'm not mistaken, you can withdraw crypto assets from Robinhood to the tune of $5,000 a day. So if you have a big stack in there, maybe start the process today. I mean, you're not supposed to be holding a significant amount of crypto assets on exchange, and that's been the thing since literally Mt. Gox. And before that. So, I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. Anyway, we got a little what to watch for here. In this segment, we're going to quickly get you up to speed on major mints, catalysts, or events to look out for in the crypto market. Clemente, do you want to tell people about what this first thing, which is Fantasy Tops main tournament starts today at 3 p.m. Eastern time with $200,000 worth of Blast Gold being up for grabs. What is going on here? The newest Blast influencer and probably a Fantasy Top influencer if we're keeping it a hundo.
I don't have a card, but Fantasy Top, for people that aren't aware, is it's like daily fantasy for crypto influencers, right? So you can basically bet on people's Twitter performance over a specific period of time, right? So we have we had a Flash tournament go live. I believe it was 2 or 3 days last week. And they gave away a bunch of prizes, a bunch of gold. These guys have been making over basically millions of dollars a day in terms of like what you can do. So if you go to the marketplace, you can buy packs. These are on a bonded curve, right? So right now the price of packs is up to 0.35 ETH each. And you buy it, you pull cards. They have a different amount of rarity. The rarer the card, they have like multipliers on performance. But basically what you're trying to pick is find people that you think are going to do well on Twitter. Right now cards are pretty expensive. I made a deck for like 0.35 ETH and like I made a pretty shitty deck, but like you can go through and like, just to give you an example, Zeneca, I bought his card for like 0.1 ETH and it was a rare card. So it adds like a multiplier, but I'm going to enter into this tournament. And depending on how you do, you get gold rewards. You might also get like ETH rewards. Last thing to be aware of, Pio, is there is a, the fantasy heroes, they get a royalty on their card. So they get, I think, 1.5% or 1% a fee every time their card is sold. So there's an incentive there for these influencers. Ansem, by the way, was like, why did someone just pay like 10 ETH for one of my cards? He didn't even know about Fantasy Top. He just like opted in, I guess, and like had no idea about it. He's just finding out about it this weekend. So I think this is something interesting to watch for, but keep in mind that these cards all have ran significantly since the jackpot airdrop. Clemente,
can you just explain for people who don't know what happens during the tournament? So you enter your cards and then what exactly is happening during the tournament?
So for the cards that you set in your deck, right? So you make a deck of 5 cards, right? And I'll show you guys, this is the winner's deck, right? So basically what you do is you set a lineup of 5 cards and then depending on their Twitter performance, which is a blend of reach, impressions, tweet performance, etc., they then get a specific fantasy score. Greg is the number one player right now. So Greg is number one. His fantasy or his hero score was 1,000. But if you have a rare card of Greg's, you actually multiply that by 1.5. And epic cards get a 2x multiplier. And then there's a legendary, which I don't know how much they get, but and then you can upgrade cards. So 5 commons make a rare, and then you kind of set your lineup accordingly.
Well, there you go. Go ahead, Sig.
No, I actually think this is probably one of the most interesting games currently happening in the ecosystem. And I think what was interesting about the jackpot was that not enough people had put it in their decks over the weekend. And now a lot of people have put their cards into the jackpot decks. And one of the criteria is the more people put that particular ecosystem into the decks, the more likely it's going to hit the jackpot. So I do actually think that fantasy could potentially hit again. I mean, some people think will be the same with pack, but I actually think fantasy could be more likely just because more people now have uploaded to their decks.
And this is the, so there's two decks we're talking about for people wondering. The first was the fantasy top deck. The second was the blast jackpot deck, which is
the jackpot deck. Yeah, sorry.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see how it ends up playing out. And just so I understand, Clemente, the difference between Frentech and this is that because it is identical, only with a different a different user interface. But the difference is that the Fantasy Top has a game, the game of fantasy, right? That's like what makes it different. On Frentech, you just bought the person's key, and then it was
on a different platform. Yeah, Nick.
Well, the other thing is there's no actual. They're not a social app in the sense that, like, you can't interact with your holders. Farouk, and I've seen other people set up, like, Twitter group DMs, essentially, for their holders. But you don't have that same social functionality, which, frankly, is better because no one was using that component anyways in a actually effective form. I also think about all the people that ended up making money on Frentech were just like, everyone's just bag pumping temporarily. I don't know. I feel like, how is this going to net out positive? I know that people are like, the math that we're running right now is on, how much gold you end up earning, but essentially the price of these assets are going to drop the moment that you can no longer earn Blast Gold, which isn't this only like a 30-day period, Clemente?
Blast Gold, I think, is going to last past the TGE, right? It's just going to be the new Blur Points, right? We had Blur Points season one. There's going to be a season two of the gold. The other thing, Nick, is they also are making millions of dollars a day in fees. I think it would be not smart of them, considering that they also raised venture funding, to not distribute these cash prizes back to their users. We haven't seen that yet, but I think with this main tournament, there will also potentially be a cash prize. So they're going to distribute these millions they're making in fees, in people buying packs, and then they're going to redistribute those to the top players or to people that rank in the leaderboard.
And but aren't the prices of...
Go ahead, second.
No, I was going to say, and to add to that, Nick, as well, it's very likely not that we'll probably see a token come out of this ecosystem in the future. So like everything right now is being incentivized by gold. But I do think even if gold went away, people will have accrued enough, will have invested enough time in the game and have enough points that if they started to tease a token in the future, they would want to continue playing.
What cards do you own, Signal?
I have some Nate Alex. I have Loopify. I have who else do I have? Can't remember. Sorry, I don't know. I haven't got a Fantasy Top open in front of me right now. I'll open it. I've got some duds. And I've got some. Oh, there you go. Oh, thank you, Zagabond, me, Eric Wall. Yeah, a whole bunch of people and some duds as well in there.
The other thing I'll say is, like, there's various ways to play it. So you can play to participate, right? You can just be like, hey, I want to make a deck and I want to participate in the tournament. The other thing you can do is actually just trade assets, right? Like, you can try to trade the cards that you feel are going to be undervalued. Like, I bought a Zeneca. I basically spent a couple hours on Fantasy Top yesterday going through the top performers. And what you saw was, because of this flash tournament, people that did well on it saw a skyrocket in their value. Like, War Daddy, his common, despite him having 9,000 followers, because he crushed and he's like this big blast guy now, his commons got up to 0.1 ETH. And I looked at Zeneca, who has 350,000 followers, but because he ranked like 78th in the tournament, no one was like paying attention to him. His epic card was at like 0.06. I was like, oh, okay. So I bought one and now they're up 2x in the last 24 hours. So you can also play that trading game where if you can make predictions on literally someone's Twitter performance, you can actually potentially make some good plays. The other thing to keep in mind is an inflow of new heroes coming in, right? So they've teased season two heroes, new Twitter influencers entering, which is inherently going to cause a supply increase over time, which could then lead you to get in into some of these cards at a discount.
Nick, any comment there, or we can move on?
We can move on. I don't know. This whole thing. Well, I guess I'll actually give a comment. This whole thing feels. Look, I'm participating. I've been getting active on Blast. I don't own any of these cards, but it seems like this is the last opportunity to do it for this particular season. I did also buy a Blastopian, which I saw Clemente tweet about this morning. This is obviously, there's a lot of interesting opportunities to participate here. It's also fascinating to see them sort of bootstrap a network of people who are active on Blast. I wonder about like how this compares to the world of Frentech in terms of the fact that like Frentech was just completely dead after like a 3-week period or something like that. Whereas obviously this is a little bit different because it's a whole layer two. So there's a whole ecosystem being built. But I don't know. It seems like there's this like limited opportunity to participate. Similar to the same way that like Blur, I guess ultimately, yes, Blur is active, but like, does anyone care about farming Blur anymore? Is that even relevant? All this stuff just feels partially temporary, I guess, is kind of the vibe that I get.
Well, Blur and Blast, and by the way, Nick, if you could, in the next segment where we talk about crypto's price action over the weekend, it would be awesome if we can have you on the computer for a little bit of chart action, if that's something that's possible. That would be very cool. But my comment on Blur and Blast is that whether or not, whatever happens in, like, the short-term ecosystem with both of those platforms, I think it's pretty clear that, like, you know, I've said this before, like, Pac-Man's our guy, right? He's our young, like, tech entrepreneur, MIT dropout guy that's really building significant stuff. I think it takes a really long time for this stuff to really manifest. At this point, Blur's been out for almost 2 years, by the way. So Blur's been around. It dethroned the number one Ethereum-based NFT trading platform. It's the consensus number one. There is no second best in many ways at this point. And now Blast is the second big thing that he's done, and we're just in the infancy. We're in the infancy of this thing, so it's going to be very interesting. Clemente?
I've been saying that May and basically the next 2 months, we're going to see like an insane performance out of Pac-Man. Like the reaction, the initial gut thing to do is to discount Pac-Man, discount Blur and Blast, and basically
who is doing that? Who?
So many people, so many people right now are saying Blast is a Ponzi, Pac-Man is a Ponzi guy. This is not gonna last. I'm not touching Blast with a 10-foot pole because I'm exit liquidity. That has been like probably more than it's changed in the last week, but before last week, I would say almost over half of people were like, dude, I'm not on Blast. Like, I'm not touching this really.
If you buy the top of any asset, including Google or Facebook or Tesla, then you were, quote, exit liquidity, and you might feel weird about it because you lost money. But if everybody looked at these things with a selfish perspective, then there would be no substance anywhere. Like at the end of the day, I think everyone can agree whether or not you individually bought the top of Google or Nvidia stock, those are very strong companies that exist in the world. So I just think a lot of crypto people are so over the top selfish that they can't process when something's actually a good thing, and they only care about basically the price that they got in at. And by the way, they only bought with the intention to sell at a later date. So what the hell are we even talking about? Like at the end of the day, whether someone bought something or not, it doesn't matter. Blur and Blast are here to stay, and it's going to be interesting to see them play out. By the way, I have zero asset exposure to either. There's no skin in the game on either. My exposure is just to the broad crypto ecosystem, and I can recognize a good actor when I see one. Hey, look, we got Nifty Nick, Choose Rich Nick on the show right now, rocking head to toe Williams Racing and Kraken branded garb.
That's the best team there is, man. Don't check the stats.
Let's go. Let's go. Love to see Nick here looking sharp. I mean, Nick, you literally look like you could be on the team.
Thank you.
So we're going to dive into a little bit here. And this was after we went down to Miami.
Can I just add, I just want to add to this point as well, like the big difference between friend tech and like what's happening in fantasy. This is like this is Pac-Man is building an ecosystem, right? And what was happening at the beginning is that we were all just like running around, going to different dApps, trying to, you know, extract as much points and gold from these individual apps. But now what he's done with essentially with Jackpot and all the sort of design that he's put in is that he's put in a macro incentive that all founders now are aligning to this one incentive. So you've got this one entrepreneur who's basically managed to bring back NFTs. It doesn't matter about forget collectability, forget all of that. It's just about he's managed to like make NFTs great again, if you like. He's managed to make people think about, okay, should I have a token in my ecosystem? How can I reward users? Like this is so much bigger than just, and this is like, I'm not dissing Frentech here, but
I wasn't comparing Frentech and Blast, obviously. I was comparing Frentech and Fantasy Top.
Yeah, sorry. But like the point being here is that there is no like, have I bought the top here? This is literally the ecosystem being built out right now. And the opportunity to find arbitrages, I think like that's the biggest thing I saw this weekend, just like being in the trenches, was the amount of arbitrages there are right now, because like not everybody has come over yet. And we don't have the big whales here, which are farming and just taking all the activity. Like even if you saw on Blur this weekend, if you're on the Blast side, now we don't have points. And I remember on Blur, my points were really low, and I just gave up farming. I was like, there's no point here because I'm competing against huge whales. You don't even have that now. You don't know how your activity is doing. And so there's all these little pockets that you can dive into and essentially not only make gold, but actually make money. And at the same time, if you understand the intricacies of how these apps are working, you can actually make very good strategic choices. And shout out to Clemente on this, because he's been so deep in this. I actually think out of all of us, and even on people on Twitter, he'll end up with some of the highest gold because he understands how the whole ecosystem plays.
He's the number one Blast influencer as of 72 hours ago, and he's becoming one of the number one Fantasy Top influencers too.
I don't think he is number one. I'm just gonna throw.
He's number one.
Throw him on it. Okay, well, self-appointed by Pia.
Number one Blast influencer. You keep fading him, Nick. Keep fading him.
I'm not fading him. I'm just giving quantitative analysis here. I think there's a couple of other people that have been doing well that we have referenced on this show. And they were grateful for that reference.
Clemente is number one.
The only thing I'll say before we wrap is like, I've never been a big farmer. Like, hey, you got to go in every morning. Hey, 15 minutes, go press this button. 20 minutes, hey, go press this one. And then you go in. Like, it's so absurd to me. I hate that. But talking to some of these traders over the weekend about what they're doing for Blast, one of the things that stuck out to me is the people that are actually doing the best on Blast are the ones that are not necessarily just trying to farm the gold, but instead just trying to trade, like trying to make money, buying assets, buying and selling things. And I think that's what Pac-Man has alluded to most in terms of the interviews that he's done, is like, he's not trying to necessarily reward the farmers, but instead trying to farm people that are genuinely using it. Did I take a 5X leverage long on Blur yesterday? Absolutely. But is that going to work out? No, because I'm just going to lose money.
Gambling addict. Last comment on this before we take a quick break from Blast. We're going to get back to Blast, but a quick break from Blast to talk about crypto rallying over the weekend. My comment, if I put it simply, is the difference between a Fantasy Top and a Frentech is that the end product of Frentech, in other words, a token gated chat, has not proven product market fit. Or if it has product market fit, that's fine, but not at the values that we saw the tokens at, right? Because the Frentech tokens pumped really high. Like Ansem's token was quite high. Racer's token was quite high. We're talking about like $10,000 plus for the token. And that value doesn't align with the end product. The difference with Fantasy Top, being able to play a game, it's a different flavor. It's a different end product. And that's what I'm looking at. That's what I find interesting. So big differences there, in my opinion. But the same base, which is buying a token that is assigned to a social media figure in our little niche world here. So crypto rallied over the weekend. We got Bitcoin at $65,000. The stock market opened 4 minutes ago. I wonder what IBIT, what kind of action we have on IBIT right now from an inflow perspective. Ethereum at $3,200, Solana at $155. Look at that quick rally. Why? Bitcoin ETFs had a solid day on Friday, $378 million in inflows, right back to almost $400 million one day. GBTC seeing a $63 million inflow, the first inflow to GBTC since the other ETFs went live. Woo, let's go. Also, very interesting to see that Grayscale's plan to have exorbitantly high fees and basically not give an F about the outflows associated with it because they just needed to make some cash worked out. That's pretty crazy stuff. That's actually incredibly good for the ecosystem. That's awesome. Also, we had a weak jobs report on Friday, so that made all the markets rally. Nick, what are we looking at in terms of the chart action?
Well, it's not yet positive. We have lower lows, lower highs. So I'm not yet convinced that we've fully turned around. The one thing I will say, if you're Kicks is big MACD guy, as he always says, and right now it does seem to be forming like a bottoming pattern, but I don't know. The chart doesn't actually look that great right now. Solana looked great this morning, breaking above its original, what I'd say is resistance. But again, lower highs, lower lows at the moment. I'm not yet convinced that we're out of this. I mean, look, like I think we keep moving sideways slash down. So I think there's more opportunities to get in here. I don't know what the catalyst is that's going to drive people in right now to suddenly buy a bunch of Bitcoin. I don't see the exact catalyst at the moment. That said, I mean, it's nice to see it off of the lows. It went like Bitcoin went as low as what, 56, and now went as high as 65. I mean, these are like 20% swings or slightly under that, which is great. But right now, yeah, I don't know. I'm still, I'm on standby. I like it chopping sideways to down. I would accumulate more, on significant pullbacks. So yeah, I'm kind of in a holding pattern here, waiting to see how things, go. I like, trading blast at this moment and just operating there, which is like trying to accumulate some ETH sort of situation and convert that into whatever your favorite token is, because everyone knows ETH sucks. Whoever thought ETH was a good thing, huh? I don't even look at this chart anymore. Look how this is just a meager weak chart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick used to be an Ethereum maximalist. Clemente, you had a question for Nick?
Yeah. So Nick, I sold my car, right? $7,000 right down the pipe.
I know you've been talking about it every day for the past 4 years.
It's a major life event for me. It's my first ever car sale in my entire life. And it was my first car ever. So I put 1500 of that into Solana at 132, and I got some flack for it. People are calling me a dumbass. It's going to dip again. And then it rallied to 155. I'm like, oh,
who are these people talking to you? You're talking about people that are saying Pac-Man is not doing well. People that are saying that you shouldn't buy Solana at $132.
Experience the hate.
Who are these people? Anyway, go ahead, Clemente. Sorry. I don't see these people.
They're there. Believe me. Nick, so what do you, should I just be waiting here or trust me, I wanted to FOMO buy
Solana. Clemente needs an enemy in order for this whole narrative to work out. So, like, allow him to have his.
I believe that it's true. I don't think he's making it up.
Literally is.
But I'm like, who are these people? Like,
it's just people in the replies saying that Nick's not the world's largest sex symbol at the moment. Like, I get that sort of comment every day, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what is going on? So, continue, Clemente.
So I was thinking about FOMO, but I almost FOMO bought Solana and Bitcoin this morning. I was like, dude, it's going to go higher. What am I doing? Like, why don't I just buy in here? But you think I should wait a little bit? You think it's going to chop a little bit? Should I just sit on my hands, have some cash ready to deploy if we see an, if and when we see another dip?
I'm waiting to see what happens, dude. I have no idea which way it goes, but if as it pulls back, I buy more. I have money sitting in the wings right now, but I also have been thinking about where I spend my money, and I have a lot of more productive places, like getting a chef, right? Like that's like an important thing. I've been looking into chef services. I was doing yesterday.
Now we're talking.
I've been doing a ton of cleaning. Yesterday, literally, I spent, well, I went back to sleep at like 8 a.m. yesterday, woke up at like suddenly 11, and I was like, damn, well, I did not expect to sleep that late. So it messed up my sleep last night, actually, which is why I was like, I could not go to sleep until like 2:30 or something. And I'm just like, what the, just rolling around. But during this time, I'm having all these thoughts about optimization of capital. One is either buy crypto or get a chef. Dude, one thing I saw in this can't sleep haze was I was looking up. So are you familiar with the, this is a little tangent, but are you familiar with the FIRE movement?
No.
It's basically, it's about early retirement. It stands for financial independence, retire early. And so people save a lot of money in order to retire early. And they figure out like the minimum that they need to get by in order to be retired at an early age.
Bitcoin will help out the FIRE movement for sure.
Okay, well, they would probably not do that. In terms of, then there's Fat FIRE, which is basically being like, I want to retire with like $30 million sort of thing. So what do you do? And that's a great subreddit to check out is Fat FIRE. And so it's people that have like, they work at Google still. They're making a couple million dollars a year, but they don't want to quit their job because they're on this path to this like fat, retirement, which involves higher end lifestyle. And so one of the commentaries on there, which I took inspiration from, was someone was saying, so I was like, could you get someone to clean regularly? And also cook some of your meals for you if you have like predefined recipes. Cause like, I don't know, when you're like eating healthy, I feel like the number of meals that you have is like, I don't know. Like
you absolutely can. That's just basically a nanny, but then you don't have a kid.
So that was what they got. They got, not a nanny, but there's what do you get when you have for old people?
I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called.
It's called senior care would yes. be one way of saying it. So you hire a senior care person, but you're not a senior. And I was like, this yeah. is brilliant. So basically what yeah. you can get. So I started getting quotes on this. There's a site.
Yeah, get some lady from Guatemala that's just going to cook you fantastic food and like clean, like boom, locked in.
I don't know why she needed to be from Guatemala.
So some lady from like, you know, El Salvador or something.
Okay.
You live in New York. You can find them.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I want to find illegal immigrants that, cross the border illegally. Anyways, I was like, this is fucking brilliant. So then I was like, could you just like have people in, why don't people in apartment buildings do this where it's like sort of like hotel level maid services, essentially?
Yeah.
Where someone's just coming by, like, set up my bed. Redo, like, wash the sheets every few days, basically. Come cook some food, basically. that's a pretty funny comment. Anyways, that was a complete tangent from basically looking at the charts to say, do I buy Solana and Bitcoin here, or do I get elderly care?
And you should get elderly care. Because think about how much this investment in a caretaker or someone that'll just do laundry, they'll make your bed, they'll cook you fantastic food. So you don't even need to think about that. They'll do your shopping, they'll order all these things. And think about how much that'll optimize your performance. Yeah, it's going to, which in turn is going to
be huge. Do it for a few months. Yeah. For a few months, you're spending like $3,000 a month or something like that. One of them
is it even that much?
Well, it depends on like how. But it depends on how many hours they're there each day and like their client. Like, there's a number of variables that play into this. I also did look into the private chef level at a high, like at the highest level. There's varying degrees, right? You could do like a shared local chef that's basically like cooking your meals. They have a call with you. They optimize your food, and they source all of the food. They do all the shopping and everything else. And I'm like, well, this one's pretty good. And that starts at like $600 a month. And I'm like, that's pretty cheap. Yeah, I was like, this is a great deal. They cook the food, but it's from like a local kitchen or something like that. So they'll bring it to you. Wow. There was, but you're buying all of the all the food and everything.
Sure.
Then there was the next level. It gets up to like thousands of dollars a month, to a degree where you can have a traveling chef, who comes with you. But I was like, do I want a traveling chef or do I want a traveling personal trainer? Which of these things are like the highest performance?
Personal trainer for you.
But as I was sitting there thinking about it, basically what you're talking about is like, there's a degree where maybe it's a local assistant. Maybe there's some like, I don't know. There's a lot of different like options here for optimizing performance. Cause I spent all day cleaning my apartment yesterday. I've been getting organizers for like, these are like, this is like storage devices. So this is where all of the SD cards and all of my external hard drives are. For example, I have this is the case for the dongles that I have. Like, so I have a dongle case. I have all sorts I've been just getting organized. I was getting rid of like all sorts of things that I don't use. I have like escape room games that I had set up, and I was like, dude, I've been giving away. I have 3 coffee grinders. I'm like, there's no need for 3 coffee grinders. I gave away brand new coffee grinders because the louder one was smaller. And I was like, fuck it. Who cares about the noise? So, we're
going to say. So all you need to do is you have a cleaner that comes by maybe once or twice a week, depending how messy you are. But the place to put your money is into the chef. You don't need to go high end, go lower end. They don't need to travel with you. And the reason is because food takes up a lot of time. You have to go shopping. You have to think about the meal that you want to have. You have to cook the meal. Then you have to tidy the kitchen, and you have to do that however many times a day you eat. So just get the person, you'll save you time, save you money. And then you put your brain into crypto and the business. And that is how you optimize your life. And for $600 a month, I would say bargain.
I think that there's a legit opportunity here. So yeah, right now, my maid service starts up again today. So I'm very excited about that. That's part of why I was cleaning, was just to have everything organized in place beforehand, before they really get their scrub on. But look, this is all about, I think life optimization is going to have significant ROI and generate the ability to produce more cash flow that I can then invest into, Solana and Bitcoin.
Can I just say one thing before we wrap on this? Nick, yeah. When I go to Chile, all Chileans have a literal maid. So what they do, and you wake up, they do all the grocery shopping. You wake up just coffee ready to go. While you're eating breakfast, fresh fruit, they get it all. They know how to, masters of cooking. While you're eating breakfast, boom, they go make your bed. And then while you're going, they cook your meals. They do everything. They clean. They cook, and anything extra you might need, they'll do your shopping, and you can get them for very cheap. Hey, I have some Chileans that you could, I've got all the references actually, in very capable, hardworking Chileans that in you New could York? Bring over. No, they live in Chile.
Bring them over.
I'll need a third bedroom for that, which the three bedroom apartment in New York is pretty expensive. I could potentially turn this other bedroom into a bedroom, but then I wouldn't have a place to stream from. I guess I could get rid of the TV in the living room, turn that into a studio, make the living room a studio. That would be full optimization. Have a live-in nanny, essentially, / live-in maid. That's very
without kids, without having kids.
They would bathe me. They would change my diaper.
Real quick before we wrap, ladies and gentlemen, I saw a lot of people in the audience saying Nick just needs a caring girlfriend.
those people do not live in
one of those. They're expensive.
What I was going to say is those people don't live in New York City. This is not the suburbs, ladies and gentlemen. We live in New York City. The women in New York City are more focused on their careers and thinking that they are going to be able to compete with a hired chef and nanny service is going to be that's going to be a tough one to find. Yeah,
you just got to lower your bar. That's like that's the problem. Your bias is towards, you're like, I don't understand why these models aren't cooking me dinner. And it's like, yo, it's because they're models. That's like a different class of person. So that's where you've gone wrong. You're trying to both date a model who also is willing to cook you food. That's called
a tough one.
That's called a high-end escort, is what that's called. So yeah, an immigrant model that you're financing, basically.
Okay, all right. All right, ladies.
There's a thin line between those two things. I'm just saying.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's circle back. We had a little chart discussion and then a little life optimization via hiring a nanny or senior care professional without having kids or being a senior, which is very interesting. But I do actually agree with Nick. I think it would be fantastic for him. I also think that there's layers to why I think it would be good for Nick. I'm going to sidebar with you after the show, Nick, because I think you should definitely do it. And you should keep my buddy that's your new personal trainer, because I think that's good for you too. And I don't think that the senior care person
is very communicative. I'll say that much, but
he smokes a ridiculous amount of marijuana. Like, he's from Northern California. He's just smoking weed all the time, but he knows his fitness. Like, I promise you that. Anyway, on Friday, Blast announced their jackpot program to reward NFTs and tokens, featuring over $1 million worth of gold, which is up for grabs. Under the estimates of friend of the show, NFT Statistics, it's worth roughly $12 million. So Clemente, what's the rundown here? What are we looking at?
So we have $1 million in gold right now available. Basically how this jackpot works, Pio, is if you own assets on Blast, for example, an NFT or a meme coin or Pac Moon, for example, whatever it is, there's 8 slots you can put into it. I think maybe even more. And then depending on the strength. So, and then every block, a jackpot is chosen or not chosen. Right. And then, when it is chosen, it can be 10% of the jackpot or up to 30% of the jackpot. And that jackpot is then distributed amongst the people that had it in the deck. So to give you an example, Pac Moon won 30% of this jackpot on Saturday, and then it was distributed to holders of the token. To give you guys an example, I have 6,000 Pac Moon, which is like $7,500 or something like that. And I got 118,000
of these.
Yeah, so I got 180 gold, which is approximately worth $1,800. So it's a pretty good like airdrop, basically. There's predictions of what might happen next. There's also theories that basically Pac-Man is just choosing who gets the jackpot. Like, it's not fully confirmed whether or not this is actually random. Because
I actually do believe in that. I do believe in that a little bit, Clemente, because all of these dApps always like everything is provably favorable. And then you always have a link to like the code that shows you that it's provably favorable. And they haven't done that here. So I think it's a mix of both. I think it's, you know, they are looking at the weightings of social engagement, et cetera, and how many holders. But I do feel as well that there's a little bit of maybe like whatever Pac-Man feels like, because we just haven't had the code for this is provably favorable yet.
Yeah. So in other words, it's not random, but that's okay. Look, the picks that are being made are for to maximize what happens. So that's okay. Let's keep going.
The big thing is like you can kind of bet, you can place your bets on who you think might win based off of NFTs that he's bought. So he's got Blastopians. He's got the Olay token, which is for District 1. He has the Juice token. So those are picks that people think might come next. The Blastopian one would probably be my next pick. And what's interesting here is like, depending on what the jackpot is, because there's only 5,000 of these and a lot of them are vaulted in Wasabi, like not like if they win the jackpot, Blastopian holders could get a pretty big airdrop, right? Like right now, these have a floor of like $1,200. I think they could get a like $400, $500, $600 airdrop potentially, which is why I think they've been running so much, considering last week they were at like 0.1. But overall, it is making it's making owning assets on Blast interesting. For full context, this weekend I sold my last Sappy Seal and I bridged it over to Blast because there's just so much more I can do with it there. And I think there's an advantage for people that are willing to like hyper focus on one or two ecosystems on Blast, not even trying to farm gold, but just figure out what your risk tolerance is and then find something that you like and just start trading. And I think you can make pretty good money on it if you're willing to put in the time. I'm curious what Nick has been doing, considering he's been saying he's starting to get a little bit more into Blast.
I have some Mint token. I don't know what that is.
Mintify, I think.
Oh, is that what it is? I've Blast Open.
No, Mint would be from the Insert app.
Hmm.
Is that worth anything? That's
I mean, you can. I can't remember if I uploaded it onto my deck, but yes, they are worth something because you can use those tokens to then do more gambling on the Insert app website. And if you hit something like who was it? Legendary, who was on Clemente's show. He did like 25 spins of 0.01, and he managed to hit a mad lad. So there are some big prizes there.
Well, I've basically just moved some ETH over, bought some Pac Moon. I have another like 1.5 ETH that I'm trying to figure out what to do with here. I bought a Blastopian, and I think I'm going to buy some Fantasy Top this morning. Just a couple of different items on there. I don't know how much to put in, maybe like half an ETH or something.
You can get good cards for half an ETH, Nick. I don't think
one card for half an ETH.
That's a lot of dough.
I said some good cards for like I built my deck for 0.35.
How many cards does one need in a deck?
Five.
So I got to buy five cards.
You don't need to. This, if you want to participate in the tournament, if you really actually want to optimize for tournament performance, you need to spend like 2 to 3 ETH at least. But if you want to just buy cards that you think are going to go up in value over time, like basically find undervalued people. I bought like Zeneca yesterday for 0.06 ETH, his epic card, and now it's worth 0.12. Like OSF, I think, is potentially undervalued as well. Loopify is pretty good. Like you can basically watch the Flash tournament results. You go to the very bottom and you find high follower counts, but a low Twitter performance and low floors. Because these guys were just people that didn't necessarily do well in the Fantasy Top Flash tournament, but they literally still have 300,000 followers. Every tweet they send out gets 10,000 impressions. So to me, I'm like, okay, I'll just buy those versus trying to buy someone that's like hustling and grinding that's at a 0.2 ETH floor. But yeah.
You all ping me nonstop. Nick, sign up for Fantasy Top. Sign up for Fantasy Top. I sign up for Fantasy Top. I get jack shit.
when did you sign up?
Last Wednesday or whenever it was that I was getting the text messages.
So if you signed up before, like I think on day one, you would have gotten some discounted packs, but we were telling you to sign up for it, Nick, because if you had actually signed up for it earlier, you would have been a hero. So heroes are getting a 1% share on every transaction that goes.
What the fuck happened, dude? This is bull. I'm getting a text message about it. And then it just, the whole deal completely falls through. I deserve this. I deserve free money and I'm not getting enough of it and I'm pissed. This is disappointing. This is complete nonsense. I am the hero. I am the world's largest sex symbol. Okay? And I'm about to be involved in a diss track versus Drake soon enough.
I can't wait to listen to that one. Maybe that's who we should be going after, actually Drake. We'll do a diss track against Drake. It's literally going to be better than some of the diss tracks that have come out in the past 72 hours.
The last one was actually pretty. There was one that I listened to by Kendrick Lamar, which was actually pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good. He is just talking about how young the girls are that Drake dates, and it was pretty good. That's the only one that I listen. The problem is like the music itself just sucks, and I'm like, dude, it's not like I enjoy listening to the song. It's just more like, oh shit,
The major shade being thrown at the producers of these diss track records. Clemente, anything else here regarding Fantasy Top Blast NFTs? What are you thinking?
The only thing I'm watching. Oh, Fantasy Top. Machi deposited. I don't know if I said this already. Machi deposited
700 Ethereum,
700 ETH into Fantasy Top. So it's gonna get a lot weirder. Nick, if I'm being honest, I don't know if I would actually go and buy some of these cards right now. I would buy maybe one or two, but potentially wait for the tournament to start. Wait for there might be an inflow of. We don't know when the next season of Heroes comes out. I'm assuming maybe that's when you would get added as a card, Nick. But when that happens, there's going to be an inflow of cards that you're going to be able to get a bigger bang for your buck. If you want, you could just buy some cards that you think are undervalued and I can send you some ideas, but I wouldn't try to participate in this tournament because right now, like, the price of cards has increased significantly since like Friday, basically. So right now you are buying at a premium and I'm like, you can get better bang for your buck buying potentially some meme coins or buying some NFTs that could get chosen and trying to play the jackpot game a little bit. In addition to just trying to participate in some ecosystems that will just get you some use for your gold. You can try to potentially make some trades, but NFTs are interesting right now too. But yeah, I wouldn't try to like FOMO win. There's going to be a lot more opportunities on Blast here in the next few weeks.
Interesting. Interesting.
The last thing I'll say, Nick, is I know you bought this captain last week or 2 weeks ago.
What do you got to say, Clemente?
I would consider selling that. I would consider selling it.
Is it up?
It's like basically break even. The reason why I'm saying that, Nick, is the captain is going to be a good play either way. But if you're literally trying to maximize goal, like, I think more attention is going to go to Blast in the next few months, couple of months, whatever it is. And with captains, it's a great play. But if you're trying to actively trade, you get a bigger bang for your buck with incentives, with things going on Blast that I think this is still uncrowded in terms of not trying to make the play of like farming gold, but like trying to trade. I think you can make some good long-term plays. But if you want to just hold the captain, it's also a great play. But I'm trying to like, I'm saying ways to like really hammer it out of the water.
No, I'm going to say no to that only because Nick has the capital to be able to hold a captain and do other things. Also as well, the Memeland team, they're a team that like when they see an opportunity, they jump on it. You saw what they did with Arsic and Ordinal. So if they think it's worth going into Blast, they'll position themselves to go into Blast and their reward captain's holders. And they also have Stakeland, and we know stuff is coming out of Stakeland. So I don't think this is like, I think in Nick's position, he can keep the captain and be able to do Blast. But if somebody was low on capital, maybe Clemente is right there and they could deploy it, make it back in Blast, and then go back and buy the captain.
Yeah, Nick, you don't need to, as a rich man, you don't necessarily need to be doing, I'm talking from my bankroll, my perspective. That's what I did because I wanted to maximize.
Because you have $7,500 because you sold a car.
I don't have the same level of bankroll that you're rolling with. But either way,
I would keep the captain.
Which my bike costs.
I would keep the captain. You got enough dough for a live-in nanny / senior care person when you don't have any kids and you're not in the geriatric years.
Sell your Nick's.
Having a senior care person. I just think that's like hilarious.
Oh, we'll make fire videos. Oh my God. With Jasenia, it's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait. Clemente, any closing thoughts?
The only other thing to watch for is, look, the big timeline is 2 weeks from now. May 20th is supposed to be the end of season 3 on Blur. So that's the big catalyst everyone's watching for. We have Blur at a $1.2 billion fully diluted market cap. Last time when we got into season 2 ending in November, we saw a literal 4x in the Blur price from people buying into it. So we don't know what this is going to look like, what the rewards are going to be, all this stuff. But I do expect some interesting mechanics to go into it. But that's the only thing to watch for. Oh, and Nick, that did you see that bridge to Blast? It went live. Machi built it. You said it wouldn't be possible. Machi built it. I don't think anyone's going to
build it with his own hands.
Yeah,
laid the bricks.
It's literally what? Just a wallet?
I don't know. I literally don't know how it works, but he did it. So what I think, it just shows that it's possible. I don't know if Pac-Man's going to do it, but it's certainly something that could happen. And I was talking to Ward that he's like, yeah, it's literally going to happen. Pac-Man's going to build a bridge to Blast, and we're going to see Collections Bridge there. Because right now, like when you buy an NFT, you can't do anything with it. Pac-Man added like an interesting layer of complexity to it that just makes it
what,
way
what
more
do you effective. Mean you can't do anything with it?
What do you? What like, can you do with an NFT on Ethereum? What can you do with it? Like I have 100 grand of Pudgy Penguins. What can I do with them?
Yeah, I'm Clemente. Can you articulate literally, what you mean?
Yeah, so you can't do anything. Blast, on Blast, you can enter into the jackpot. On Blast, what I think is going to happen is you might be able to earn like a yield on it. You can buy these refundable NFTs where you buy it, you hold it for 28 days, and you earn gold as a result of keeping your ETH locked up.
It's progression of like, this is just what happens over time, and it takes a long time. So people like, you know, they give up on it, but it takes a long time. And then all of a sudden something like Blast comes out. And then by the way, in a year and a half, Blast will look different than it looks today. I love it. And I think that layer one Ethereum NFTs won't really be that big of a thing anymore, because when you can bridge them to Blast and there's like the gas fee situation's way better and there's all this additional functionality, you just wouldn't keep it on layer one. That's it.
That side of things is very interesting.
Oh yeah.
Which is literally what Vitalik was said in 2021, 2022, something like that. He was like, yo, use layer two. Like, what are you talking about?
This is a technology network. It's going to get built on over time.
It's been so much, like when I bought my first Blast NFT 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh shit. It went through instantly. Zero fees. I'm like, oh, this is just like basically like Solana. Like I've been waiting for this. The thing on Blast is it's literally just like a casino-like approach where it's, but everyone likes that. That's what people like. Crypto One is like this chance in the buying stuff. So Pac-Man's going to pull these levers to keep making it fun, I think. So
yeah, the market rewards things that are better. And so Pac-Man, I'm not saying everything he'll do forever is good, but I'm saying I think he really thought about like, well, what's better? Because that's realistically something that is going to be rewarded, and he's trying to build something better. It takes a long time, and I love to see it. It's awesome. I can't wait to see where things go. Wouldn't be surprised if all of our Ethereum NFTs, you just bridge them to Blast or a Blast competitor. That's the cool part, is that maybe the Blast competitor, maybe it's Base. Maybe it's Polygon. I don't know. That's the cool thing about it. Open networks, baby. Way better than closed networks. Open networks all day. Ebrink with the comment. It's a great casino. I like it. There you go. It's a great casino. I like it. That sums it all up. I like the casino. Look, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. The show's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It's available on Twitter Spaces. A lot of people are listening there. X platform video, YouTube as well. Wherever you get your content, we are there. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube. Nick?
Real quick thing. You didn't comment about how you're a huge fan of us re-bringing back in the Green New Deal. You didn't discuss that at all today and how you were really advocating for a lot of these liberal policies after we saw that documentary on Saturday. Yeah.
Talking about me.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's worth us discussing the documentary on the show. I actually don't think it's worth it.
I know we're leaving. That's why I decided to throw that in there. But I did want to just say that Pio's a big fan of the Green New Deal.
It's not the Green New Deal. It's modern monetary theory.
No, but also that documentary was just advocating for like other. Anyways.
Yeah. So anyway, a lot of this stuff looks great on paper. Communism looked great on paper. I mean, on paper. Look at that commune. Everyone gets equal share. That sounds good to me.
China.
It's working in China, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned for 4 more shows this week. Also, pay attention to the number one. Or look, if he's not number one, he's a rising star in the world of Blast influencing, which is one of the fastest growing corners of the internet. At this point, you're going to be seeing all the mainstream celebrities talking about Blast influencers. That's Clemente. He's on the rise in the Blast influencer space, and we love to see it. Here's one more.